That the only ones so far with a plan that we know about are the Greens. They've already issued their budget, I guess, if you like, in their announcements in the last 12 or so months. Joining us on the line now is Marama Davidson, co-leader of the Greens Party. Welcome, Marama.
Kia ora, Matt. Kia ora, koutou.
Well, I mean, look, we started the day trying to figure out who the biggest winner is in here. We figured it was Winston Peters. He's gone for gold. He's got the card recognised as ID. There's money in there for foreign affairs. I suspect probably Moana Pacifica is going to get a bit of an announcement later on this evening. We've seen money go into rail, but it's a weird sort of budget because it doesn't address the underlying issue of poverty in Aotearoa. And when it comes to our young people, Marama, it doesn't seem to be a budget that addresses their future in any meaningful way that could give them hope. Would that be fair?
That's more than fair. The budget, in fact, addresses children, all right. It leaves them in poverty, them and their whānau, Matthew. And that was the first thing I went and had a look at. So I went straight to the child poverty report, which the government every single year is bound to do. Remember, we set legal targets for the government to ensure that all governments are accountable to lowering poverty. Now, the legal targets themselves are not even as aspirational as the Greens would like, actually, but they're still targets, and nevertheless, to see less and less children and their whānau having to struggle to live. This government's own projections have made it very, very clear. They have decided, they have made a political choice to leave children and their whānau in poverty. They are not going to meet the projected targets. It is unacceptable that any one child is and their whānau are living in poverty, but this government has actively chosen to keep people and their children in hardship. And I don't know what I was expecting. I'm not surprised, Matt, but I am deeply disappointed. And I think, though, that I want people to know that it can change. We deserve better than this, and collectively we can do better than this.
Marama, what are your thoughts on the decision to effectively shut down the Ministry of the Environment at a time when climate change is making more of an impact than ever before, and at a time when you've had seven of the big polluters apparently impacting directly policy?
I mean, we're not surprised at this, right? This government is showing exactly who they care about and what they care for. They're showing who they value and what they value. You've seen cuts, the disestablishment of the Ministry of Environment, but have a look in the DOC page, have a look in Department of Conservation, more cuts to, at a time when our native species are, you know, more and more are threatened or at risk of extinction, at a time when the very living systems that we depend on for our own livelihoods are under threat and strain, this government is removing further protections, while at the same time, as you said, Matt, buddying up with big, big polluters to change laws so that they can protect them better. I think none of this surprises me. I really, when you've got an economic model, Matt, that relies on trashing the environment, that has to keep children in poverty to balance its books, that has to see record unemployment and just today homelessness to balance its books. When a government talks about things and uses words like budgets, like debt and surplus, what do those words mean in isolation when families are doing the best they can to make ends meet, but there is not enough money? Kai is expensive, energy bills are expensive, transport is expensive, rent is expensive. When instead the government could have chosen to bring people real relief, like investing in public transport, like solar panels and batteries on households, like making sure that we are paying women what they deserve. But this government has chosen, once again, for the people with the least, to balance the books on the back of their exploitation while they funnel resources, money, power and wealth, once again, to the very rich.
I must admit, I did think that these were going to be prudent measures to provide cost of living relief to whānau and also low-paid workers in particular. It would have been an easy thing to subsidise public transport.
Right.
It would have been an easy thing to put,
you
know, invest in solar panels on roofs, whether it be marae, whether it be schools, whether it be police stations or homes. And it would have been prudent to, at a time where we're facing a fuel crisis, where it would be wise to invest further, if not more, into charging stations. Although I think from memory, they strip mined that, didn't they, Marama, in the last couple of years? Only to put another, I think, $50 million or what
have
you,
and say it was a win.
Yeah. They found a little bit, but I was so generous of them. So with all that in
mind. That was after, but that was after they removed the clean car discount as well,
So with all of that in mind, and knowing full well that there's no cost of living relief in there, even for middle class New Zealand, let alone low paid workers, and the vulnerable, where do we go with this government? I mean, there was no sugar hit either. It was like they're putting.
I was thinking there might be a little superficial sugar hit. They were depending on the the $50 a week that they already announced as their response to the fossil fuel crisis. But remember, that $50 a week had to come from this budget. So that's all the sugar hit that they could manage to come up with. It was something that is already announced. And in light of the increases in energy, in kai, in healthy kai, and in fuel, where did that $50 go? Sweet FA, that's where it went. Mm-hmm. And so not even the sugar hit in here, while at the same time they are depending on the importance of the words debt, deficit and surplus to mean something to ordinary people who are just trying to get by. We could do so much better. I think the main thing that I've been thinking about, like, we have to understand that a different economic approach is needed. A different economic approach that understands the investments that we make into public services, into housing, into ending poverty are really smart generational investments, right? They will have intergenerational goodness as well. It's about valuing relationships across communities, valuing the relationship between government and communities, and valuing the relationship to our soils, our oceans, our waters, our clean air. You know, I don't know why it seems pretty clear to me that investing in these things is a really wise idea. This government, it's almost embarrassing that they're still sucking on trickle-down, mimmy-down economics and thinking. They're still sucking on that and thinking that people can get that. People have not been going to be gaslit by this government anymore. They're like, what trickle-down? What trickle-down? Mm. We've had 50 years of that. There's been no trickle down. If anything, we have seen billionaires and gazillionaires make even more wealth, and more and more people shifted into hardship. It doesn't work, whānau. We can do better.
No, fair call. Hey, Marama Davidson, we're going to move on. Thank you so much for joining us. And we will just for you, though, just so you know, next hour, we're going to play Sugar Babes Push the Button.
Oh, wow, I love it.
There you
Let's go.
Let's
go, sugar babe.
There you go. Thanks, Marama Davidson.
Ngā mihi. Thank you.
I mean, it says a lot when so far the commentary around this budget has been pretty consistent now that, well, unless you're wearing a pantsuit like Christopher Luxon and maybe David Seymour could, there is nothing positive here.
Well, I mean, the government was in a hard position to begin with. The economy has not fired the way it had hoped. You've got this issue now with the Strait of Hormuz. These are all a lot of headwinds. What has surprised me is how much they're hoping on these positive treasury numbers.
Right.
It's going to come down to how close will that actually turn out to be the case in terms of economic growth and whether or not we're going to see those jobs coming back.
In fairness, I'm starting to think, though, that economic forecasts are much like the weather. It's a very hit and miss affair because there are so many dynamics going on now. Yeah. I mean, last year it was the war in Ukraine. This year it's the war in the Middle East. We're still finding a little bit of unsettled narratives around everything from climate change policy to the environment and so on and so forth. The Trump administration, I mean, you know, it's a list a yard and a mile long. So forecasting, maybe it's the new way but we have to describe magic cards. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what do you do with magic cards? You throw them, right?
I just think that what has been most concerning is that it doesn't just all the focus seems to be on cuts. Mm. I'm not hearing solutions, and I think that for a lot of New Zealanders, they were wanting to hear, well, what's the game plan? Where are we going? What's the actual? And all we've got is cuts. The cut is the end game, and I don't know if that's enough. I just don't know if that's enough.
I also think the interesting thing is talking about, you know, what we're investing in or what the investments look like. We're not seeing enough money, I guess, coming down the pipe for those things that have already been alluded to, such as strengthening our borders. I mean, yes, you're putting more money into defence, but that's more about maintaining current equipment until you decide what to do with it, or buying a couple of drones on the off chance that that might be a strategic play. We're not hearing anything in terms of beefing up surveillance of our borders, immigration, all of those sorts of narratives.
Well, all we're hearing is 9,000 jobs cut, and that's $2.4 billion out of that from the PSA. So, it feels like the government is trying to lower its costs and hope that the market picks up and does the work on its own. Well, we yet to see any of that come through.
But I guess fair call, because, I mean, I guess they're playing to the constituencies. But then again, they're playing to a single constituency, and it appears that all three of them are bastardising each other's votes. Would that be fair?
Well, I'm not sure who the constituency is, because small business owners need to be able to sell into a market where there are workers who have got enough disposable cash in their pockets to buy their products. Well, that's right. Falling over.
And we're seeing record liquidations. Record numbers of small businesses falling over. Yep. Also, one of the country's biggest money spinners, tourism, didn't get a sugar hit.
And that's
at a point where we know Air New Zealand is reducing flights. They still haven't fixed their engine problems, right? There's still an issue with the fact that people are coming into New Zealand that aren't spending the amount of money we thought they were. And then there's this thing called Ebola. Now, yes, it might not be as serious as COVID-19 at this stage, but I don't think we ever thought COVID-19 was serious. And then look at it. And then boom, hit, bam, wham.
I think that the real challenge is going to come on, well, where will the private sector pick it up and start creating the jobs? And I just think that's going to, the jury's out. We haven't really seen anything in this budget that is going to help that.
Oh, it's not all doom and gloom, though. There is crayfish, of course.